Welcome to CAMS Cops Our Stories, the podcast series that delves into the unseen world of policing. In this episode, we're joined by Inspector Carl Secker, who talks about the force's work to support those in mental health crisis through the use of a mental health car. Historically, police were heavily reliant on the use of emergency powers through the Section 136 of Mental Health Act to provide support to those in mental health crisis. Now, thanks to the force's mental health car, those in crisis are getting the expert care they need, thanks to joint working with health colleagues. So, first of all, hello, Carl. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, maybe you could just give us a bit of a background about why we set the project up, a bit about maybe how we were dealing with incidents involving mental health before the car.
So, the car was set up jointly between us and our NHS colleagues in mental health because it was recognised both in their world and ours that we weren't maybe providing the best care or best practice approach to managing people in mental health crisis in a policing context. So that could be that maybe we were Section 136 in too many people or people that didn't actually require it, but based on our risk assessment process, that we weren't dealing with people and giving them the right response because we don't have medical training. We're purely police officers. We're there to basically prevent crime, you know, and preserve life, prevent crime and prevent damage to property. So there's a coming together of, you know, people above and saying we need a joint response to this. And the car has been used in other areas successfully and has reduced Section 136 and given that best care to people, and that's what we did. Policing is fast becoming a kind of not a joint role, but there is more mental health issues that are coming into everyday work when it was just purely concerns for person stuff a while back, whereas now there's an element of mental health in nearly every job we go to. It may not be purely like a shoplift or something like that, which has connotations or links to mental health, but so therefore, our officers have to be better prepared, better trained, and have a better understanding to provide the best care that we can do. Because we are going to do this. We're going to have to become better at it.
Okay. Some people might ask, kind of, why police are involved in incidents of mental health people, maybe in mental health crisis in the first place. What would you say about if it's primarily a health issue? People may argue. What would you say to that?
Well, as part of the police, we're supposed to, as I said, preserve life, prevent further injury, you know, prevent harm coming to property and prevent crime. They're kind of the key things that we're supposed to do. People will reach out in a crisis to whoever they see fit, to whoever they think is going to get the best care from. And sometimes they ring 999, I'm going to kill myself, or I've got a weapon, I'm going to harm myself. And it will naturally come to us because we can get there quicker and we can take the initial steps that then hand off to medical if required. In terms of why... So the jobs that come in can be like a concern for person, which is where someone's called in and said, I believe someone is causing harm to themselves or others, or maybe someone ringing up because they're in crisis themselves and it gets diverted to us. And then we are there as a blue light response team, as in partnership with fire and ambulance, to preserve life. The reason why it comes to us a lot is, as I said, because of the weapons involved sometimes, or the fact that we have the necessary ability to be able to break in to get entry, or that we have the necessary powers to deal with it. So there's Section 136 where we can take control of someone if they're in immediate danger, or they are rather in immediate need of control or care. And so therefore, sometimes we are the best agency to deal with that. It's not always the case, and this is why we work in partnership with ambulance, NHS, mental health, CPLFT, or crisis care and that stuff to ensure that they get the best care they can do. However, there is police are, and it's been well documented both in and around Humberside and that, so police are almost stepping our toe into the mental health arena at the minute because we are being relied upon to maybe do more than what we should be because everyone is stretched. So we are the last port and call for any sort of emergency call that comes in. So if there's say that someone's gone to 999, the ambulance says, no, we can't get there for 5 hours. They're going to refer it to us, say, can you get there quicker because this person is in crisis, but we don't have the capability or ability to get there at this time.
Okay. And can you tell us a bit about this new project and the idea behind it, kind of how it works?
So we have a mental health nurse who comes in and works with our blue light responders on frontline. At the minute, they're only on late turns, and they come in, they then partner up with some of our PCs, and it's not just one or two, it's we're trying to get the knowledge all around the team, so trying to rotate as best possible. And they come in and basically go to the concerns, the jobs that are tagged for mental health. It could be just that if it's a MISPA that we need someone to go there, a missing from home person that needs that slight bit of extra care, or someone that's not in uniform, because sometimes the uniform is a barrier to people opening up to us and telling us what help they need and how we can get it. So it's great to basically reduce the number of people of the being Section 136, so taken into police care and then taken to the mental to the crisis sort of care centre, the 136 suite in Fulbourne, or to another place of safety, then being assessed and then maybe being released, which is what was happening quite a lot because we're dealing with people with more behavioural rather than mental health issue. So the mental health nurse is there to primarily provide the best care we can, try and reduce the number of 136s that are occurring, but provide that immediate best practice approach to that person. They've also got access to things like their mental health records. They have a better understanding of care plans and future planning. And also they have a better decision-making ability around things like future planning. And so if someone says to me as a police officer, I'm going to kill myself, alarm bells, right, what do we need to do to help them and stop them, prevent them doing that now? The mental health nurse comes to it from a different angle, where it's saying things like, well, okay, so what are you doing tomorrow? Or can we see you tomorrow? Yeah, it's fine. And then it's a future plan. And to them, that's concrete enough to them to say, right, we can leave you. You're happy. Are you safe now? Can we leave you now? And it's fine. Whereas police, because of our lack of experience and training in this sort of area, we're a lot more risk averse to this sort of thing. So it's having that professional there to, one, confirm our thinking, two, provide that almost safety blanket, and three, provide the best care to the person in front of us.
Fantastic.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it did more than. Now, you've kind of touched on a bit already, really, but what do you see the real benefits are for, I mean, there's three groups really here, I suppose. It's the person in crisis, it's police, and then it's the NHS as well. What the benefits do you think for this project?
I'd probably add the community to that as well.
And the community, yeah, so okay, four.
Remind me about
that. That's fine, that's four.
So the person, they're going to be in crisis. They're going to be reaching out. It could be that they are absolutely at the last point of their life, or like, I'm going to kill myself, I need someone to help me through this, or maybe that they're going through a difficult process or mental health issue, and they're asking for help. And police, we're not trained to deal with it, so therefore we're with the nurses providing that best care with the ability to search through the records and understand that person better than we ever will be able to. We also have nurses in our control room, which are called the IMHT nurses, who are able to access different areas as well and provide that nurse with information on the ground that they can then deal with. It may be that, for instance, and this is really sort of hypothetical, person's mother died recently but died due to an overdose or car crash. It may be that on the care plan it says don't put them into a back of a van because of ABCDE. The nurse then can provide that information to help us better provide care for that person. Also, the nurse is better at deciding what care plan we need to go down. So it could be that we would then instantly go, I think they're going to kill themselves. They need immediate control or care to prevent harm to themselves or others. I'm going to put hands on them, I'm going to 136 them. Whereas the nurse could say, right, well, actually, I'm not as concerned about what they're doing now. They're not showing any behaviours that may cause this or may are concerning to me. So maybe we need to put a referral into the crisis care unit or to first response and say, right, tomorrow we're going to call you, or someone can call you in the next 4 hours from the first response team. And then we can go along with that. And it's about providing almost a round peg for a round hole, instead of police coming there using the only tool that we really have an understanding of, and that we should only really have an understanding of. It provides a sounding board and a learning opportunity from the mental health nurse. So people are working with them, and some of the feedback I've had is that the police are finding it easier to work with the person in front of them to make decisions based on what they're being presented with and decide on care plans and know who to go to when the mental health nurse isn't on. So like 136 detentions are reducing because people are becoming more understanding and knowledgeable about the powers that we have and the reason why they're there. Also as part of the police is that it upskills them, but it also gives them more confidence. It allows people to have a better understanding of when someone's in crisis, when someone hasn't got mental capacity, what ambulance should be doing, what the mental health team should be doing, what we should be doing. And then so they're a better, more rounded person in terms of a police officer. But then also it enables other people to deal with blue light jobs and, you know, Article 2, death, serious injury jobs, instead of being at Edith Cavell or PCH or Adam Brooks for 4, 5, 6 hours looking after this person, when a mental health nurse could have easily just made a care plan about seeing them tomorrow. Everything comes at a cost. And every time the police use our powers under 136 to detain someone, it costs the NHS time, money management, people, all that sort of stuff when we take them to the 136 suite. And especially if we take them to the place of safety like the emergency departments in Addenbrooke's or Hinchinbrook or PCH. So one of the main things is that they're not getting the 136s now, which they used to, which is someone's assessed, they're regularly there because of the mental health issues that they have, and they're released 3 or 4 hours later or 6 hours later, depending on if they're alcohol dependent. And that 136 or the ED suite that they've got is being taken up when someone else requires it. And it all comes at cost. So the NHS and the mental health teams that create this are putting money into prevention rather than the cure. So if we can prevent these 136 before they occur, one, someone's getting better help in the community or in the house where they're safer. And two, we're not then taking up the 136 because we only have one 136 suite in the county. It's not being taken up with someone who doesn't necessarily need it through the choice of a police officer. It kind of links into the policing and the NHS one, is that there are more officers and more nurses now that are able to be dealing with the people that are most vulnerable and most need the most help. Because if you pick up that phone and you say, I need someone, someone's at my door with a machete, and you want someone there as quickly as possible, and you want the best trained officer to deal with that. But however, if there is always a balancing act of demand versus, you know, resources that we have in policing, we have to manage that, and sometimes it's a real sort of tightrope of demand, of balancing that we have. And this, having the mental health car, it's shown at the minute that like 1 hour of this mental health car saves around 2 to 2.5 hours of police time and saves, I think, several hundred 136s so far over the past sort of year or so that it's been working. So it's saving both time, effort and resource that can be better used in the community to, you know, manage these high-risk calls and manage these high-risk persons rather than dealing with something that could be dealt with quite easily on the night. So it's the community getting a better service. They should have more trust and confidence in what we're dealing with because we've got better resources for it. But I just don't think they know about it. Mm. There have been occasions when there have been mental health nurses, because they have mental health nurse on the back of the jumpers and on the coats and that sort of stuff, where people said, oh, that's fantastic, you've got them out there. Why haven't you done this before? So it's the word's starting to get out, yeah. And it's been on Look East and that stuff. So people are starting to understand it and know it.
Just briefly, are there any kind of actual examples you can think of that might demonstrate the work that's happened? I mean, obviously there's dozens really, but is there anything that particularly springs to mind that might demonstrate?
So there's a few. So there's several examples, but a couple of key ones like where a person may be on a bridge. There's a couple where there's been people over on bridges over like the A1 or the A14 in Cambridgeshire, where we may have got hands-on and stopped them and been 136's person when we didn't need to, where the mental health nurse comes and said, oh, I know you. Right, what's going on? What's your problem? Right, we can work through that. Oh, it's a bill, it's this, it's that. Right, come off the bridge and let's do it. And we haven't had to put cops or anyone in danger because the mental health nurse has dealt with that. Or a key one was in Peterborough recently, was a female who was in crisis at home, and the police didn't really know how to manage it, what to do, because every avenue we went down, the mental capacity act, was she was proved to have capacity by ambulance, went down the 136 route, where we couldn't 136 the person because she was in her house. We can't do that. Right, so what else can we do? And the mental health nurse was able to come in and say, right, we need to make her safe tonight. We need to ensure that there's one-to-one work with her care workers. And then this is the person, and then was able to categorically say to her, you are going to be talking to this person tomorrow at this time around this. Are you happy with that? Yes. The mental health nurse was able to make a clear decision around, we have gone through every legislative and every best practice possibility here around dealing with this person, this lady. There is nothing else we can do but 136. And the police had seen the process, had heard the questions, knew everything, and were like, fantastic. And although that was a long incident that they dealt with, it was proof that incidents change as time goes on. And we had the correct tools to deal with that. And the police then made a correct 136 detention, which she was then detained and taken away. And it wasn't forceful or anything, but it's like, right, we're on 136 and you're now under our care. Here's an ambulance. Can you go in the ambulance week? Someone's going to go with you. Then they go to the 136 suite. And it was correct. And that person got the correct care that they needed. But without the mental health nurse there, it could have gone very wrong, because the police don't, force may have been used, or, you know, when it wasn't needed, or incorrect terminology or stuff. It could have escalated to them getting hurt, or the police getting hurt, or the caregivers having to come in, care providers having to come in and help with, you know, preventing them harming herself, whatever. But because we had the mental health nurse with the right understanding, it wasn't. And the correct calls made in the end.
Okay, that's really interesting to hear those actual, you know, examples. And as you say, there are dozens and dozens more since the car's been in operation. Is there anything else you want to add in relation to the project or the scheme? Or
I've got a dream of this moving forward and how it's going to develop, and that we have cops that are almost, they apply to come on the car. So they, although now we're trying to build a sort of a knowledge base up around all of the response, ideally in the future I'd like to investigate whether it's worth having specific cops that apply and get on it and then have extra training in mental health and go on the mental health first aid course, could then work with the nurses long term and then manage sort of what we would class as people that need that extra level of care, or that may provide a bit more demand on us, or provide the demand on us and need it but need that policing and nursing sort of engagement to try and prevent them coming into crisis. So therefore I want it to go long term. I want to work with our partners, and Carolyn and Eddie in CPFT have been fantastic, and I see it as almost becoming a department in itself, and working with the ambulance car. It's just, I think, you know, 10% of our jobs are specifically around mental health concerns, someone who's going to hurt themselves or harm someone else because of this. But there's, a while back I did a study around, it was around 47% of jobs had some form of mental health qualifier in terms of a person that was involved in it. It may not be a mental health job, so as I said earlier, like shoplifting and all that sort of stuff, I've had mental health issues in the past. And people may not know that, and it's the knowledge that we need to build to better deal with those jobs as well. And so if you think 10% of our jobs are purely mental health, we therefore need the knowledge, understanding and the expertise to deal with it, because these are people's lives and we need to make sure that we're providing the best care that we can. It's the jobs aren't going away, so therefore we need to change and get better at dealing with them. And that's what I think.
Fantastic, yeah. I mean, obviously this is a fantastic project, a fantastic start to it, but it's really interesting to hear how it could just be the start, and now that could develop, and now we can continue to learn and continue to provide a better service for the public. So thank you so much for your time today, Carl. Really appreciate you coming in to speak to us.
Thank you for listening to CAMS Cops, Our Stories. If you or someone you know has been affected by the issues raised in this episode, help and support is available. For more information, visit the Force's website, www.cams.police.uk.